Welcome to Off the Handle. I'm your host, Ronald Preville, and today we got a special guest, really funny, talented comedian,
Carlos Ocrella.
All right, man. I always get people to introduce their own names because I'm really bad at names because I will murder everyone's name. Even though I know you a thousand times, I always say it wrong. So it's just easy for me to put it on you instead of me embarrassing myself.
Well, fine. Since we're in the topic, how do you say you're like Preville? Is it Preville?
Bro, I don't even. It's like, I don't know my daddy's side, bro. So it's like, yeah.
All right. Got you.
Nah, I think it's just Preville.
So Preville.
Yeah. So, yeah, man. So you've been doing comedy for how long, man?
If you want to count the COVID times and online, 2 years, but nah, I'd say 1.5 years because of the COVID.
All right, cool, man. You know, I see you on the scene and stuff like that, man. Like, what got you into wanting to do comedy?
Man, number one, I remember watching Carlin say some fucking real ass shit. I'm sorry, I don't know. Can I curse in the show? I don't.
Yeah, you can curse.
He was saying some real shit, you know, and it was hilarious. And then just watching the crowd just laughing got me into watching comedy. But then when I had seen John Leguizamo's Freak, I don't know if you ever seen him on stage do that, but he acted out his whole set. And I was like, that's what I want to do. And I want to talk about my family and stuff like that. So
yeah, man. No, I don't remember seeing that. You talking about the special, but I have seen Leguizamo in this like one on a one man. What do you call it when you do one man show? One man show. Yeah, I saw him do one of those where he was talking about his family and stuff like that. Is that the same special?
That's it. I think that's it. Freak, because he did that one, and the next one I remember is he did something like Latinos for Idiots or something like that.
Yeah. Okay, I remember that. No. That's a GOAT, bro. That's a GOAT. He's a underrated. He's a very like underrated like legend.
Well, he's Boricua, you know what I mean? So when he was telling his story, you know, me being Puerto Rican, I identified, you know what I mean? And cracked the hell up. I had a great time watching that special. But it was gifted. Like, you don't normally see comedians acting out their sets. It's like they either stand there, you know what I mean, and just speak. But when you have people like Robin Williams, you know what I mean? Like, they move around. I love that shit, bro. And that's the way I aspire to be.
Yeah, there's that type of energy. There's only a few people that do that. And I think, you know, Daniel Tosh used to be like that. You know, he's not really acting out those type of moves like that. I think, did Eddie Murphy do that? No, Eddie Murphy would act out his jokes when he first, yeah. There's a few comics that did that. Yeah, but now that is a normal thing to kind of do more.
I like that, man. I'm telling you, like, we're still talking about Raw, bro. Like, this day, today, we're talking about
that's it. One of the top specials of all time. If you just get into comedy or just want to do comedy, that's the one, like, everyone knows. Like, even if you don't know comedy, you watch Raw or Raw or Delirious. Those are ones that where you're like, oh, shit. And they still resonate today. Those are great jokes. You couldn't do any of those jokes really today.
Yeah,
at all.
I know, shit's got so PC, man. And you know what got me? Okay, you remember when Dave Chappelle dropped that special he made, not the one about 846, I think not Paper Tiger. He dropped a special not too long ago, and you know, he talked about some controversial shit. Rotten Tomatoes gave him a shit review, crap review. But when the public was able to vote for it, they were like, that shit was great. You know, so I feel like there's a disconnect here going on. I think there is a thirst for non-PC comedy. But, man, I don't know why it feels like everybody within the industry, it just wants to be PC.
I don't know about necessarily PC, but it's also a different kind of culture. So, like, you can still be that type of comic if you want to be. You just got to know there's only a ceiling for that. Because once you start saying things that may offend people, certain in a big mass, you offend, like, say you get a special, right? And then you say some really terrible joke, or not a terrible joke, but you say something that really offends a lot of people, and then you start getting people writing letters and stuff like that. So you start messing with people's money because of advertisements, because there's advertisers, there's people that put money onto that special. Once you start messing with people's money, that's when you get kind of canceled. So it's not necessarily like it's the thirst for it. It's just more like, all right, you say something that we don't like and it's going to affect our money, we're going to stay away from you. But you can still be who you want to be and say those type of things, but you got to know there's only a certain ceiling for that.
You know, and that drives me, it astonishes me, you know, because I say to myself, like, who goes to comedy clubs? Is it adults or children? You know, Christians go to comedy shows? I didn't know that. You know, it's like, why is everybody getting so offended? Like,
What's a joke that offends you that you feel like you need is not like should be not under review?
I've heard of a lot of jokes that were offensive, that, you know, like pedophile jokes. I don't like that shit. That shit's fucked up, you know.
See?
And they're not even funny. You know what I mean? Like, it's just fucked up. But I don't sit there and wallow and cry and write letters. You know what I mean? Like, whatever. My feelings are hurt. Whoop-de fucking do.
Yeah. Well, I
You
mean,
know?
that's just if your feelings are hurt, it's still like it doesn't matter. It shouldn't matter what a comedian says. It
It
should
doesn't
only.
hurt my feelings. It usually just makes me cringe most of the
Oh yeah. But then that's also your type of thing. Like if you knew a if you saw a comedian on a special, he's killing all his jokes, he's doing all right, people like him, and then he starts doing those type of jokes that you feel that are offensive, you're not gonna be like, oh man. I'm not saying you're gonna be one that dude canceled, but you'd be like, eh, I'm not gonna watch this person's stuff.
Well, yeah, but I'm also not gonna walk out and cry. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? That's my pr that's what I think people should do exactly right there, Reynolds. If you don't like something, don't watch it. That's it. You know, stop crying about everything. You know, because it's like today, if you tell any joke about anything, you offend someone. So what do you
True.
get? Is a bunch of people who are afraid to step out of the boundary, out of the edge, out of the, you know what I mean? To push the envelope. They're afraid.
Yeah, I think there's always an audience for everything. That's what I say. Like, people can still be that way, but you just know that you may not get a special, you know, or if you do get a special, not a lot of people want to watch it. And like,
Look, I think
if
everything is funny. If you want to joke about rape, pedophilia, you know, abortion, all this shit that are not really a great, if you want to joke about it, I just think that your joke should be funny enough to, you know, to counter the fucked up part about it. You know what I mean?
Well, I also think there's people that like you're right. If you don't like something, you should just close shut it. You should just not watch it if you don't like it. Like, I don't know if you know who Kevin Samuel is.
Kevin Samuel.
Yeah, he's an image consultant that he's an image consultant that kind of got viral about like before COVID or around COVID, that like he pretty much like says mean things to women, but he mostly talks about black women. And a lot of black women are offended by his stuff, by his topics. And it can, there's some, he has some good points in what he says, but he does say it's a lot of disrespectful stuff, or the way he says it is disrespectful, the things he says. And a lot of people, a lot of black women are upset with him, and they make videos on how he's explaining how he ain't shit and this and that. And it's like, well, and I had a conversation with a friend about that. It's like, I hear what he says, but the things he says are stupid, but I just don't watch his stuff. His content isn't for me. If you don't like something that someone's doing, you don't have to turn it on.
Exactly.
Doesn't make they don't gotta be canceled unless they do something incredibly illegal. That
Exactly.
usually
If you whip your dick out on stage, definitely you should be arrested for that. But, you know, freedom of speech, people, freedom of speech. That's why, even though I don't agree with the some of the jokes that I hear, I don't sit there and cry about it. You know what I mean? Because they got their freedom of speech to say whatever the fuck they want, so I can use mine too. So I got mine, they got theirs.
Yeah, I hear you, man. All right, brother. So We talk about wrestling sometimes on the podcast. We all grew up watching wrestling. What about you, man? Like, did you watch a little bit? I know a lot of people. I watch it to this day. I actually even
Bro.
got to be a wrestler for a little bit last year.
I
And I'll say, what's up?
No, go ahead. Finish.
No, I was saying I got to wrestle last year, and even though I'm 32, going to be 33, I still love wrestling. Not a lot of people do still watch that in comedy. But I'm one of the few that do. Like, I know you had to watch a little bit of it when you were a kid.
First of all, dude, you're about to be Jesus's age, 33, man. I hope you beat him. I hope you beat it. Beat that 33.
Hey, I'm gonna try.
And when I was a kid, I remember putting wrestling on one time, and I thought it was ridiculous. Like, I remember watching the guy jumping and punching the other guy, and I'm like, that's not real. That's not what my dad does when he hits my mom. He doesn't even jump. So, but I thought it was, for the entertainment value, it was awesome. You know what I mean? But like, I had a cousin who thought it was real, and I always get in an argument with him about, bro, it's not real. And then finally, when they let down the veil and made that documentary about how it is fake, my cousin was like, oh, I knew, I knew. I was like, well, you thought it was real, bro. You thought the Undertaker died and shit.
Yeah, I definitely believed in wrestling. There was that period of time, I think it was between fourth and fifth grade, where you're kind of like, it's like Santa. Like, you know he ain't really real, but you ain't gonna say nothing. You think he is, you're still kind of giving hope. But right before like fifth grade, you're like, oh, wrestling is kind of fake. And but it's not fake. It's the pain, the hits, the moves. It's just a choreographed dance. It's the best type of physical dance, I guess. But it's not. Getting slammed still hurts. Accident still happens.
And I agree with you. It is a very physically demanding place. You know what I mean? Like, the things that you have to do there. Like, bro, if your job was to get slammed on your back, bro, like, how many people would be signing up for that shit? Not me.
I took some bumps. It does. You get used to it, but the way you put your body down, how you take a bump, but it does take a toll on your body. Like, you don't. But wrestling is kind of a weird thing where you can still see some old ass wrestlers come out like at 60.
Hell no.
Yeah, like Ric Flair is old as shit.
Great
Undertaker's old.
player.
Yeah, man. Undertaker's that was, I think, in his 50s and was just retired after 30 years of wrestling.
I think I would have more fun playing the wrestling video games than, because like, I'm not a televised sports watcher, but don't get me wrong. Like, I want to say, like, I would put it on and enjoy it for the entertainment of it. I definitely crack some jokes on it. And I'm like, look at this. But
You had some favorites though, right?
yeah, I remember. Oh my goodness. All right, this is gonna sound funny. Okay, so I had Stone Cold Steve Austin was my favorite. Him, and then I have Booker T. Washington.
Booker
Him,
T. It's just Booker T.
Booker T. Yeah, sorry, not Washington, just Booker T. He did that leg thing. Then it was Leatherface. I liked him. I thought he was the most entertaining one. He's like coming out there with a chainsaw and shit. I was like, oh, hell no. When I first saw it, I was like, this motherfucker's gonna wrestle with a chainsaw? Forget it. Game over.
It's pretty much she wins the title. Yeah, that's pretty much game over
And
right there.
you know what I did watch for a minute that I got into really hard was ECW.
Everyone love, yeah.
Man, these guys would cut themselves. Fucking barbed wire. Boom, bro. Fucking insane. I was like, how?
Yeah, they would sometimes use tasers. Actually, New Jack that just passed away did tase a guy in a match with a real ass taser. Yeah, like yeah, the ECW was like hardcore wrestling to its finest. It was. I
Oh,
remember
man.
watching ECW, like, but like it would get the TV I had. I couldn't get. There's a certain channel that ECW would
Yeah, you
come
didn't get it
on.
every time, bro.
Say what?
I didn't get it every time neither, bro. Sometimes
No.
it didn't come on right.
Yeah, but you had to hold the antenna, but like kind of like hold it from the side and by looking over.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, that's the kid. These kids don't know that type of
They
pain.
don't know the
Where
struggle.
you become the antenna for your TV, bro?
Yeah, stay right there. Stay right there.
Yeah, they don't know
Oh,
that.
man. Yeah.
I've always liked wrestling. Like you said, I've always liked wrestling. I've always liked other sports. You know, I'm a basketball fan. You say you don't watch sports other than comedy. Like, what are you, what's your thing?
Other than comedy, which I do love comedy, what's my thing? You're talking about like televisions,
Yeah.
wise?
Yeah, if you're not a
Man, listen,
TV person or what?
I don't watch much television, but if I do, it's probably gonna be a Family Guy, a South Park, something like that. That's what I would watch. And then documentaries. I'm into documentaries. I watch all kinds of documentaries about
Like what? Like about what?
From everything from conspiracy theories to UFOs, from I didn't watch the whole flat Earth thing. I skipped that because come on, we're in 2021, people. We've been to space. We know it's round. Jeez. But you know, third world country shit, water shortage shit, you know, COVID-19. I watched this documentary called Plandemic. And it got a lot of shit on. Like it got blocked up for YouTube. That's how I know I wanted to watch this shit. And dude, that shit blew my mind. That's just crazy.
I think YouTube tries to block out certain documentaries or certain things like that that may be completely false. So, like, do you want to watch them because you believe it, or you just want to see their version of why they did it, how good it, how, why they did it?
I just think when the government's trying to suppress something, it's true. I mean, when not the government, you know, YouTube, but you know, whenever people are trying to suppress something, like I definitely got to see it for myself, man. Like for example, do you remember when 9/11 happened? You remember that shit, right? Of course, everybody does.
Yeah.
Well, when that happened, the news was telling you one narrative, and it was all like straightforward narrative. Bin Laden did it, blah blah blah. But you can go on YouTube and actually get the other side or get another angle, right? This time with COVID-19, controlled the narrative. They controlled it to the point. And then now when we having leaks and shit like that, emails, then it's like, oh yeah, you know what? Maybe this could have come from a lab. But before, to say that was stupid. You were considered a moron for saying that.
Are you talking about COVID-19?
COVID-19.
Well, we, you know what? People thought it came from a bat and
A
area
pangolin.
of bat and snakes or something.
To me, no, it sounded racist. It sounded racist because it was like, no, they don't come from the lab right there. That's right there, the virology lab. No way. They come from those stinky Chinese eating all that fucking wet market shit. Yeah, bro, that shit sounded racist to me, bro. Like, how
Yeah.
long has that been there? How long has the wet market been there? Like,
Well, actually, and the funny thing about that is that people are like or built like that because they just find. I was at the gym, and like I was like overhearing this dude talk about how he's sick of it. That it's either proving us right. It's didn't it didn't cut it didn't come from a lab or anything, or it came from this area. It came from this Chinese area, and just saying that loudly in the gym. And I'm like, bro, like. There's some gym, there's
like
really
a
no
government
gym
imprint.
etiquette.
He's
Yeah,
trying to
I'm like,
push the narrative.
but I'm saying, like, dude, like, I feel like this is the one place, like, you shouldn't be talking about things. Like,
Right.
at a bar, this is a rule is you don't talk
Right.
about religion, you don't know about religion and politics. And I
Oh,
feel like the gym is the one
politics.
place you definitely know none of that crap. And I'm like, some people are so diehard just to get their
Nothing.
narrative that don't care where they are to say their dumb shit.
You should be working out. That's what you should be doing at the gym.
Exactly. They even the personal trainer had to come up to her
Yeah,
that
man.
owns the gym and tell her, shut the
You
fuck
know,
up.
my point is that they controlled the narrative real good this time on YouTube. They didn't let anything else. What the government was saying, that's what you were going to find on YouTube. And if it didn't say that, we're going to block you. And that right there makes me suspicious, bro. I don't, you know, it's like, what are they hiding? What is it that they're trying to push away?
I
So, you
mean,
know,
you got
I at
countries
least
like
looked, you know.
there's countries like North Korea that like block the internet and China so their people don't know certain things.
Dude,
It happens all the time.
here we are. And everybody's turning into gold dust. By the way, gold dust, I was surprised. He used to crack me up because he comes out looking like a fruit, looking like a hot, looking like a mango with feet.
I
All
think his
yellow.
idea was supposed to be a drag queen, kind
Yeah.
of like he used to do some like there's now I as an adult, I go back to watching old school wrestling and I'd be like, oh, this was incredibly inappropriate for us. Like WWE did go a route from going from the Attitude Era where you can do like Goldust. I remember watching Goldust literally get a dress pulled
The
off of him. And he was wearing a G-string. And I'm like, now
guy.
WWE is like PG pretty much, and none of that stuff is going on.
Goldust was the Rodman, the Dennis Rodman of wrestling.
Okay, I can give you that flamboyant. Yeah, okay. That's actually a pretty good comparison. I was gonna
Wasn't.
say not black, but yeah, all right.
You know what it was. But yeah, see, I did, it was entertaining watching him come in. He would come in. Sometimes he would come in with a hot babe too. And I'd be like, damn, what is she doing with that guy?
I
And
think
he
he
got off
was married to her. Yeah, that
married.
was what. Yeah, I think Goldust was married to that the one of his the ex-managers, valets. Yeah.
I revisited wrestling a little bit when I heard of what is it, Kevin Benoit, and what happened to
Yeah.
him? What do you
That's
do?
a pretty sad story.
What, like, let me get this right. He killed his whole family and then killed himself.
Yes.
That's fucking insane, dude.
Yeah.
And the way he killed himself.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. His brain wasn't okay. He had a his brain was pretty much damaged from CTE pretty bad. And you know what the saddest thing is that yeah, he did kill his family and himself, but he has an older son that's like probably 25.
He survived.
No, he didn't survive. He just wasn't there. He
Right.
has an older son from like I think a different marriage or something like that. And it's just like I feel like that's it's sad that that happened, but that's even sadder to me that the son's out there knowing that like yo, it's like my dad killed my I'm sad that my dad's dead and my brother's dead, but it's my dad's fault. That's a
Yeah,
mind fuck.
and they, I don't think they still, I still think they don't know why. It just come out of nowhere, bro. It's just like, what, roid rage or something?
They said a mixture of everything, man. You know, no one knows. Crazy shit happens all the time. You know, speaking of that, it's like I do watch documentaries myself, especially a lot on Netflix, mostly about serial killers.
Oh, yeah.
So there's the I do I watch those documentaries the most because I kind of just want to know like what made them do this and like what it, to understand them. Like that. Like, what gets them to want to do, hey, I'm gonna kill these people for no reason. And it's, and I watched when they first actually, like, in the FBI, I think, started actually, like, finding out when serial killers really, like, started existing. So, like, it's like been ever since, like, early, like, time, man, have always, there always been people that just want to hurt people for no reason.
Yeah.
The serial
Worldwide.
killers and that what the serial killers like BTK killer I was very fascinated about because it's like that dude killed a lot of people and just stopped for 20 years because he wanted to be a good dad.
Nobody suspected him. He kept fucking dropping. Oh no, they caught him because of the typewriter. Yeah, that's right. But yeah, if he wouldn't have boasted, he would have been straight. But his dumb ass. They always want to get caught for their work.
Yeah. There's that they I think what is his name? Dylan Roof, those are different type of serial killers. I feel like those are mass shooters. Those are crazy people. I'm not too fascinated to hear about that. But I'm more the ones that do go out like the BTK killer, those are ones I'm like interested in. The ones that are like pedophiles and stuff like that, I turn those off. I have no interest in hearing those.
Well, I
What's
tell
like
you what, if you like true crime and you like the gory details and shit like that, I suggest like look up the podcast Sword and Scale. Dude, that shit's insane, bro. But I used to like shit like that, man. I'm gonna tell you, I stopped listening to that shit because it's like I don't want that kind of thinking in my mind. You know what I mean? Like I don't want those thoughts in my mind. For example, there was in the 1960s, there was this guy, an Asian guy, who made an experiment, right? He took some water droplets. He played like beautiful music for some and froze them, and it made a beautiful crystal. He played like really horrible music for another, like heavy metal and said, messed up things like Hitler and shit like that, and it made a messed up crystal. So out of that, that means that water retains information. And if you think about it, man is made of like 86% water. So you gotta I like to watch what's going into my mind. You know what I mean? I like to keep things negative out. So I stop watching that shit and thinking of, I mean, think about it, bro. You're listening enough for that serial killer shit. I don't know, one day you might become a fucking serial killer, bro.
It's a possibility. No, it's it, no, I understand that and I respect that. That is true. That's why I do like Criminal Minds, a TV show about serial killers, catching serial killers. I can't watch that before I go to sleep because I'm like, I don't want to go to sleep with that. I kind of just more fascinated on like okay, so the documentary on the bomber, the Oklahoma bomb, not Oklahoma bomber, the Olympic bomber.
Yeah, I didn't see it yet, but don't spoil it for me.
Oh, well, can't talk about it on the podcast.
No,
Well, okay. Well, I'm
tell
not
me
gonna.
something.
It's history, bro. It's not. It's a,
What
yeah,
about
but no,
it?
very much. It's that he, the way he was manipulating the government against this little town, and he was just such just a. A fascinating like liar and would get these people to do. I'm fascinated in how a person that can be a horrible human being convince other people to do shit. That's what I'm saying. Like I get like to, oh, I like I'm interested in stuff like that. So those type of documentaries, I'm like, this dude is fascinating. And also because that case certain there's a security guard that was wrongly accused of doing the Olympic bombing, even though he was a hero, and like a couple of years, it was just his life was just shit. It's just because of one dude's actions. So I'm just always interested in just finding out why they did what they did, how they did it, what they did, and if you can change people, if you can, if
Wait a
these things
minute.
didn't happen.
I think I saw it. It's that one. Okay. Yeah, I did see it.
Yeah, it's pretty good, right?
It's a guy who acts like he's slow, and they're trying to blame him for the bomb and shit.
Yeah, he was just like a soft
Security
spoken
guard.
tall. Yeah.
He wanted to be a cop. He's like a. He was like a. I saw it. It was. Man, it was awesome. He was the same actor from. You ever seen Mindhunters?
Yes, that's yeah, that's the one I'm talking about. Mindhunters. That's pretty much the one I watch. Yeah, I
That
like
shit,
that one.
it was badass,
Yeah.
because the FBI changed the way they, you know what I mean? It's like now, if you do something, they look at the clues and they try to put a profile who you are, what you do, you know what I mean? And they're pretty good with it too, you know?
That's why Criminal Minds is pretty good, but with Mindhunters that they did fuck up with that man because the FBI just accused the wrong guy. Remember how you saying like if the government's keeping something that's kind of shady? That was the shadiest thing about they accused this Olympic bomber, but they had no proof. They kept letting thinking it was him and never actually apologized to him later on when he was fine, not the guy at all. So sometimes government just control everything, even with law and stuff like that. When you have these certain type of people, agencies and shit like that. So I believe sometimes those conspiracy theories can be somewhat real when stuff like this kind of happens. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, I really feel for the guy because it's like he was doing his job, he did everything, he warned everyone, and instead of getting his medal, he got fucked by the media, fucked by that lady. Hey, I tell you what, when I watched that movie, when that lady got what she deserved, oh, bro.
When she dies, yeah, I kind of feel like that she kind of deserved it. Like she ruined this man's life and kept going at it.
Yeah, kept going, driving it hard. And you know what? Shit like that happens even today in the media, people.
Yeah. I mean, if you have money and influence, you can probably control things. You can make things move, and you can destroy a person's life. Even Snowden, remember, I think Snowden actually like what told on the government was spying on our its own people. Oh, this podcast became a conspiracy podcast.
And they're quick to do that, bro. They're quick to give you misinformation, bro. Like, okay, let's say they'll release another five fucking bullshit that sounds like the truth, so people don't even know what the fuck the truth is in the end. Fuck it. I don't know. Something happened.
Misinformation is a way of controlling. If I tell you the wrong things and you believe it, even though I know, you know, I want you to do what I want you to do. Yeah. But, you
I
know,
think we do have a
I'm
problem with too much information.
say what?
I think we do have a problem with too much information.
Yeah, because you never know where fake news and all this other stuff, it's hard to find out what's the truth. When there's so much stuff like this is false, this is false. Like speaking about this, I don't know if you know who these two people are. James, you know who James Harden is, right?
James Harden.
Yeah, James Harden, basketball player, was apparently the story came out of that he paid a sweetie 100K cash or 100K to go on a date with him. And like that became a giant story all over the blogs and all this other stuff. They finally came out and said, like, no, that's never happened. And it's like, what, how does that become a story? People just literally will make something up and then people will believe it. If you have.
I don't understand why that even matters. Like, remember when the when they found, what is it, the Patriots owner was screwing some chick in a hanky panky place, you know what I'm talking about?
Oh,
The
he got
owner.
caught for yeah, he was at a one of those massage parlors.
Well, why does that even matter? Like, we don't live in a Christian world anymore. We live in a secular country. Like, who's judging him? Like, what? You understand what I'm saying? Like, why does it matter if he's fucking a chick or not?
The crazy thing about that story is that he has money and wealth to where he doesn't need to go to one of those things. He could have literally just, yo, bro, like, oh, hey, slide a chicken DMs, say, hey, I'm Robert Kraft. Would you like to come to my house? Boom.
Boom! Party.
But again, power and wealth. He wanted to do something and it, he wanted to do something and he got his, he wanted to do something. He has the money and that's what he did.
Yeah, and what I'm saying, they made a big deal out of it, and it's like, shut the fuck up. Who gives a shit? Who gives a shit? He's getting a little wanky panky. Why does that matter?
I don't think that's exactly what I, you know what, that is the things that when, why do certain things have to matter in certain stories? Because I was like, when I'm reading the story about the 100K Cash App, I'm like, why is this a story? Who made this up?
Did you say 100K Cash
Yeah.
App?
Yeah. Supposedly, James Harden sent Sweetie 100K to go on a date with him.
Oh, yeah. That.
You know, it is not, obviously, not true, but. How did that become a story?
It was just, I was just, when you said that, bro, I thought about Ocasio. Ocasio Cortez.
Who?
Ocasio Cortez.
Mm-hmm.
She said, she tweeted something online talking about how her grandma, her abuelita in Puerto Rico, you know, is living in this dilapidated, you know, home. And this guy, Matt Damon, I think, he was like, I don't know if it's Matt Damon, but anyway, he was like, okay, you know, how can you be this rich? You know, you're wealthy, you're doing pretty good, and your grandma's like that. So they raised 100K on fucking, what's that called? GoFundMe to fix the grandma's fucking house, and they didn't take the money, bro.
Really?
Matt Walsh. Matt Walsh.
Why didn't take the money?
They didn't take the money. I don't know, but it was fucked up because she was talking about, you know, how her abuelita is doing so bad in Puerto Rico and they raised 100K. They were gonna buy her ass a mansion. And she's like, no, I'm good. Whatever.
I'll take that 100K right now,
You
bro.
know, send that shit to grandma. She'll be blinging, bro. Coming around in a fucking with some spinners and a fucking some bounce in their car and shit. Some hydraulics. Look what my
Yeah.
grandma sent me.
All right, man. Well, let me ask you this. What do you want out of comedy? See how and you've been doing it
Man.
for 2 years. Like, what do you want out of comedy? What are your aspirations?
What you mean, man? My aspiration is to fucking perform, bro. Perform in front of people, bro. To do one of, to be one of the greatest. I mean, you know what I mean? To compete with some of these greatest guys, you know what I mean? And I'm talking about, you know, Fluffy. I'm talking about Kevin Hart. These guys, you know, their time is not over, but you know, I'm only here 2 years. In another 10 years, I don't know. Will there be different people up there? Will, you know, is there a revolving door for? Point is, but this is what I want to do with comedy. You said you asked me what I want in a comedy. I want to travel and get paid to do comedy, bro. That's what I want. I want to go all over the place doing my stand up and making people laugh, man. That shit gives me a boner, bro. I love that shit.
That's what's up, man. That's what's up. You know, like you like Carlin. Those are your guys. Are there any certain comedians that you look up to currently that like are out right now?
Oh yeah. Oh no, I'm talking like, in my local scene, or are you talking about
No, just in
no.
general.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, so Carlin, Robin Williams have when, you know, Richard Pryor, those were my idols back in the day. Now, yeah. I'd have to say Kevin Hart's. I just wish like I don't like his show. You know what I mean? I just wish he stick to stand up. He's doing so much that I don't know. I feel like we haven't seen him go on stage anymore, and I love him on stage. Who else? Fucking the guy who wrote Paper Tiger, the redhead guy. I forgot his name. Fucking
What is Paper Tiger? Why is that in my mind right now?
is it Jim Gaffigan? I do like Jimmy Gaffigan,
Jim
but
Gaffigan is legit. He's
that's
made a career just talking about food, and is I love his joke. That's the type of comedian I would like to be. It's more like corny little like just things that make you happy, not like because I don't want to ever really offend anyone, but I also don't want to get political when I talk about jokes. I kind of like that type of atmosphere where it's like it just Joy Coy is kind of like that where he doesn't really talk about politics or anything like that. He just wants to talk about his son, makes jokes about his son being 13-year-old, trying to making masturbation jokes.
Well, me, you know, when I used to get mad, people used to laugh at me. So in the beginning, my whole shtick was gonna be I get on stage and I just complain about how shitty life is and people laughed at me about it. But it didn't work out that way. People were more like, yo, is this guy gonna shoot the place? I had to tone it down like a lot. I'm still trying to tone it down, but I mean, I love the energy up there, man. When you know, when I get up, when they say my name, you know, before I get on stage and say Carlos, yo, I get that in my stomach. I don't know how to explain it. It's like a shot of cocaine, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, yeah, restless. And I get up there and I take that nervousness and I turn it into energy and it comes out like that. But I'm working on it. I want to be more controlled up there. So yeah.
How many times are you going up?
Man, how many times have I been up?
Yeah, since after COVID.
Since after COVID. Oh shit. Well, right after COVID, I hit that during COVID, I hit the nine hole down in Miami with Ciro.
Yeah, I've
And
never been there.
it's funny, bro, because we used to watch him on all the time. And you know, I
Oh,
thought it was yeah, because I like Ciro. I like his craziness. He's get up there and he's like, ah, I love that shit. So I decided to go down there, bro. I thought it was a golf course, bro. I thought it was some sort of fucked up golf course, bro. But when I showed up, bro, it turns out it's a fucked up bowling alley, bro.
Oh, I thought it was a golf course.
It's not, bro. I thought that was hilarious.
Oh, shit. Way.
I hit the
I would
spot
never guess
Miami.
that.
I hit the spot Miami where what's his name? My buddy, he's the busybody in comedy. What's his name? Sean Mullins. And bro, I don't know. It was like I did. You ever done comedy at a kava bar when everybody's like fucked up?
Yeah.
Well, that's how it went for me in Miami, bro. So I drove all the way to Miami, and I bombed so hard. I was like,
And
oh.
you know, bombing sucks, but that drive home sucks.
I learned something that day, though. Let me tell you what I learned that day. See, I was like comedian number 25. No. I was like comedian number 15, something like that. And I said, I'm from West, I just came, I came all the way down here from West Palm Beach, right? Bro, it turns out that I was like number 10 to say that shit. Okay?
So you,
And
what you
then
learned from that?
right after me came, guess who? Dan Casso. Yeah, I drove all the way down from West Palm Beach. I was like, oh God, I feel so stupid now. I would never say some shit like that on stage again.
It's always good to say that. Sometimes that can kind of be funny when a comedian is one comedian says it, then a second comedian says it.
Right.
Sometimes, like, I've seen moments like that be pretty fucking funny. It's like, oh, and. Yeah, those are pretty funny moments. You can always do that. There's nothing wrong with that, man. I if what I'm thinking you're
I
saying is
didn't.
that try to pay more attention to what other people are saying.
What I was saying is that when I was doing comedy in Miami, I was saying, I say the joke and no laughter, nothing at all, nothing. And when I saw, it was horrible, man. I ate a dick that day, and yeah, I would never. But from my lesson, yeah, I won't use that again. I because it's like if you're watching, and you don't pay attention to what they're saying, and you repeat it again, it's like if you're watching this show, it's like, did you not hear the first five people? Did you not hear him? They said they're
Fuck
from
up.
West Palm Beach. Say something new. Say something like, I took a spaceship from West Palm Beach. Make it some, at least make it something different.
No, yeah, that definitely, yeah, I can see that working. That makes sense. Yeah, I think, like I'm saying, you're saying it's just paying attention will make you
Paying
not say
attention.
the same thing. And then you can say
Yeah.
something funnier.
Yeah.
Ah,
Yeah,
cool.
say something funny. That's another thing. Like when we go to open mics, we do this a lot. We are in our own papers, you know what I mean? We're on our own phones, not paying attention to the comedians or outside, you know what I mean? And I don't know, man. I
I'm
like
definitely guilty of doing that, but there are comedians I will come in to see. If someone does tell me to say, "Hey, I want you to hear this," or I kind of just do vibe on myself though. Like I am guilty of that, but lucky like there's certain mics that have like big win open keep the door open, so I kind of just listen from outside. But sometimes, no, I prefer like to have. I don't like necessarily doing comedy in front of comics, but I. Even though that's a stupid thing, is what we do. I do like comedy where like there's a room of people, even if it's not like a it's an open mic, but not a show. If they're just regular people, doesn't matter if I suck. But I feel like I get a you get a better real understanding, like, oh, that actually is funny. You know, I feel less pressure on myself when I do that. When I have those type of audiences. But that is something that I should probably do is stay inside and pay attention to what people are saying. Because one, you'll pick up funnier things. It is better to listen to everyone else to see what they're saying so you don't say the same thing. Yeah.
I'm working on a set right now where I want to roast everyone.
Okay.
Everybody in the comedy in the comedy scene down there, but I gotta catch them all in one open mic, and I think it would be funny because like I get tired. I don't do this all the time. I get tired of hearing the same jokes over and over and saying the same jokes. I can't do that, man. I'd rather, like, if I do a same route, a same set, I'm at least gonna change one joke in there, something, throw in something new, you know. But I like to show up with something fresh, you know, because I've heard comedians, bro, repeat day jokes, bro, like week after week, fuck, week after week, fuck, day after day, week after week, and it was like, oh my God, I can't even laugh to this anymore. I can't even pretend to laugh. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely have done that, but I didn't know any better. But I'm guilty because you come up there, you're like, I'm gonna write this new joke, I'm gonna say this joke, and you can't remember it, and then you're like, okay, I'm just gonna go back to my old stuff because it's in the pocket. But I've learned that to like, it doesn't matter if it you can't remember it, just say it, because then you'll work on it the next time. No, so it is good to always have, well, at least one new joke that day at open mic. I've been working on that. Like, I'm going to do one joke. But if there is a bunch of comedians outside and it looks like an audience, I will just go back to my regular stuff.
Another thing I don't I try not to do is I don't like, okay, people say like, okay, go ahead, try it on stage. Like, you write something. I don't write something and take it to stage. I write something and I take it through the rigmarole of like Facebook group chats, you know, groups, comedy writing groups. Then I go like on certain apps where you can talk into and have a, you know, people there and see if something, if people laugh, you know what I mean? So what I'm saying is I like to try out my jokes before I hit the stage. I know that sounds crazy.
No, I
But
mean, I usually when I write something new, I call one of my friends and just say like, "Hey, here's this. What do you think?" I try not to do that with my family because even if I say the joke to them, they're just not gonna laugh. So it's like I can't ever judge them on the fact that they don't either like that. You just gotta find your right audience. My friend will laugh or not laugh. Like she'll give my honest, real good feedback. So it's always good just to find someone you can talk to. Lately, I've actually been talking to Victor Petrioff. He actually been helping me out a little bit. I love that guy.
I like him. He's really cool people.
It's always you just gotta find your tribe, bro, and just hang out with some people and tell. That is a better way of doing the jokes, like writing it.
What would you say your target audience is?
I don't even know if I have one because like I just do so many different things. You know, I got the podcast, I do comedy, you know, I do YouTube stuff with wrestling. I don't really think about my audience, but if I would want an audience, it's more like I want to be like everyone loves Raymond.
Wow, you know what? And when you say that, you know who pops into my mind like right away?
Ooh.
Fossil.
Yeah, the way he speaks.
Yeah.
Yeah,
He does sound like my science teacher.
I feel like I'm like middle-aged old white women like my shit, and
That's
that's
who I
probably why
want to watch my shit.
they buy tickets, bro.
Yeah, that's who the audience has to be, bro.
All right, man. I think we'll wrap up here on the show. If you want to promote your social media and all your stuff and your podcast.
Sure, man. You can find me on Facebook, Carlos Ocrella. That's Ocrella. And you can find me on Instagram as Instinct Views 561. Instinct Views 561. I just started a podcast. It's called Comic Insider. And what I'm doing is pretty much something familiar to this. Similar to this is I will be interviewing local talent just to see how they're doing it in their comedy journey. In hopes that maybe I can learn something, and if anyone, you know, is interested, tune in and find out a thing or two about them, you know?
Yeah, that's what's up, man. That's cool. All
Because
right,
I feel
guys,
like
this is
we kind of show up to the comedy scene and like Like we don't really get introduced, you know what I mean? Just kind of jump on there. If they like you, they like you, but they don't really get to know you, you know what I mean? Nobody asks you the deep questions.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that's a good way of getting to know people and doing the interviews, and that's a good idea for your podcast, man.
So I'll see you there, Fairville. Hopefully, we'll set up a date to do it. It was a pleasure to be on this podcast, man. I'll be
Thank you.
down to do this anytime again. Maybe I'll brush up on some wrestling.
Definitely. Next WrestleMania party, I'll invite you. All right, man. All
Right,
right.
what do I bring? A chair?
You bring a chair, some beer, and some wings.
All right,
That's all
homie.
good.
It was great talking to you, bro.
All right, thank you, man. Thank you for being on the show, brother. Appreciate you.
Oh, thank you.